And welcome back to the NAPB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm your host, Amanda Coulson, for tonight's episode, and we are here speaking with two of the artists in the upcoming show at Turn Gallery, Notions of Self, which opens tomorrow night, June 10th, Thursday. And again, we are open all day. We're having a celebratory moment between 4 and 8 p.m. where there will be serving some cocktails. But again, we do have COVID restrictions, so we can only allow 10 people in at a time. So please, if you come, be patient. If it's busy, we have a nice terrace you can go outside on and be in the fresh air and come see the show, which is with three Bahamian artists, Dominique Knowles, Heino Schmidt, and Tessa Whitehead, and one Jamaican artist, Leisha Johnson, who's with us tonight. Tonight we're talking to Tessa and Leisha about their work. And, again, it's interesting that I looked at the show, I think Jody did a really beautiful job curating it. The works really, work very well together. But I hadn't thought till I paired you. And I really just did it because Heino actually, well, first of all, I just thought Tess and Heino didn't want to constantly be being put together because you work together and you are partners and all the, but you also do collaborative works. And then Heino used to teach Dominique at UB. So he was his professor. So I think he's seen him develop. And so I thought that would be a really interesting conversation. And then I just realized that you two are you both have some Jamaican roots as well, which is sort of interesting. And your work is, you both use landscape in a really interesting way. So I just like to explore that a bit more. You're kind of both using landscape as a place to both hide and reveal. So who wants to take that on? What is it about doing that fascinates you? Or why do you feel that need to put your bodies in the landscape? Tessa, I'm going to start with you because Leisha just went for 15 minutes and he needs a break.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the instinct for me I have an instinct to kind of disappear into the landscape, a lot of the impetus for making work for me is very instinctive. I also very deliberately try to keep within things that I know. I think that happened naturally for me, but I also in the last 5 years or so have started to think very carefully about what it is that I know about and have agency over and what it is that I don't know about. And so I tend to try to speak about things that are very close to me and try not to have a kind of grasp or voice over things that are once removed. So I'll often reference a friend or a space that's near that I know very well, or a story that's been passed down through my family. And I very rarely, if not ever, reference a story that is told by somebody that I don't know so well, or a space that I haven't spent a lot of time in. For me, that's quite a radical decision because it feels like it's a way of turning away from a kind of capitalist way of thinking about artwork and a masculine way of thinking about it, and trying to really embrace that kind of feminine, taking care of your own space and taking care of what you know. And so it's from that point of view, the landscape that I know and kind of how I tend to it feels like a really a great place to make work from.
Yeah, and is the landscape feel like now? It feels like in your last series of paintings, the landscape was almost a scary place where there were sort of monsters hiding. But now it feels like a kind of safe space where you're finding sort of a refuge. How has the landscape changed for you, or does it have both when you look at it?
Yeah, I think you're right. So sometimes I'll reference a monster or something that maybe comes from a story that I was told. We are so lucky, I guess, in the Caribbean that the veil between reality and spirituality and spirits and magic is very thin and also talked about in the same sentence. And in my family it was the same. So, you know, talking about ghosts and duppies and magic and things that we don't mess with and things that we do mess with in our family, given our heritage, mm-hmm. was a real framework for how to be a person and how to see. So especially stories about that are kind of peculiar, that include like journeys through landscape that might include an encounter with like a ghost, that might be used as a way to show your family how to going forward, like, okay, mm-hmm. well, now when you're going through landscape, make sure you do this, this, and this. And I think it's very informative as a child. And so, but I see them as blending. I mean, it just maybe because of COVID was so scary, I was retreating into a really lush, lovely, happy space. Mm-hmm. But yeah, often things pop up in the landscape that feel kind of magical in the mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. What yeah. about you, Lieshu? Does that anything she's saying there resonate with you about landscape?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think about it in a similar context. But in Jamaica, we have this thing, you know, as a current thing, it's called nearby bushes. And so nearby bushes become almost this character itself. But I use it as a space for mythology. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we also talk about where criminals go to disappear and where, you know, things go to die. And, you know, we have a lot of ghosts and mythology, but it feels like it's this space where humanity or this kind of place where things go to get forgotten mm-hmm. or to disappear or where things live that you can't really confirm. And so I use it as like a setting for putting the characters that I, you know, the paintings that I'm working on is called Anansi. So Anansi resides there. But what Anansi is, it's really two men who are engaged in you know, intimacy. But for me, it's just, you know, it becomes this kind of invisible act. But then for me, then it opens up a space about a kind of, inhabiting this nearby bush. Because it's a space of happening. You know, there are things happening in there actively. But for me, it also becomes this kind of way of keeping people out. It's like, it's an inaccessible space for people to criticize and scrutinize and hate. And so it also becomes a space of unrecognition. So, you know, the mythology.
Sort of anonymity in a way.
Anonymity, yes. And, you know, just the idea of then putting a narrative that doesn't fit quite well. Like, you know, the idea that you don't really, I think it started off kind of listening to certain narratives about what the intimacy between two same sexes is supposed to look like. I hear a lot of people in the Caribbean talk about just how disgusting and grotesque. And so I'm using it in its literal sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it is a monster, but then it's this thing that you can't describe. And so I'm using the nearby bushes as just the perfect place for it to happen, right? And for me, it's refuge. It's giving me kin to the undescribable, the unobtainable. And I think it eases up a lot of pressure on around that area. That's the whole philosophy with it.
Yeah, so it's a place, yeah, that's really interesting that you're kind of describing like almost this. I mean, I immediately thought of the Minotaur, I don't know why, like this sort of like monster who like yeah. embodies kind of like passions that we don't want right. to confront or whatever. And, you know, mythology, really interesting. And how about, I mean, both of you as painters, I think it's also interesting. I mean, like Tess is now mostly, again, you haven't been using oil paints, but your use of material, is that something that you felt the issue, like, because again, that like layering, I think there's something about approaching the landscape that way that I almost, you know, using paint and using that kind of process gives you that sort of, again, because like in a landscape, or if you look at the bush, you know, there are again, all these layers, you're sort of going yeah. through, you like peel one thing away. Yeah. Is that part of your choice of material because of your topic as well?
Not necessarily because of the topic. I was just really trying to do a metaphor towards, you know, investigating an invisible history. Because mm-hmm. I think for me, it's like, you know, with our history in the Caribbean, there's certain peoples who have been kind of erased. And I think for me, it's just the idea of locating them. Mm-hmm. The idea of thinking about these queer people who probably came over on the ships and then, you know, they never pop up any other way other than mythology, or you just hear all these ugly stories about them. But it, for me, it's like it's recognizing them and isolating them. But then the paints, the materials themselves are kind of playing in terms of where they are materials from nature. Mm-hmm. You know, the paints I make are distemper, and you know, I know exactly where all these colors come from. Like, there were rocks at some point in time, there were plants, there were animals, you know. The charcoal is also a kind of reference to the body, you know.
Yeah, well, and a reference to the plant life too, because charcoal, right, is just trees that have been, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so it's just like taking the, it's kind of like this alchemical process. And, you know, it's very, you know, I sometimes start off by drawing in my sketchbook, but it never comes out like what it's in the book. And for me, that's the best part of it, right? It's just this magical instance kind of happening that's on the surface.
Have you found it hard, Tessa, to approach landscape with your new materials, because without that ability to kind of layer and, you know, how hard was that a transition for you? Because again, in the earlier paintings, you know, that use of oil and the use of different layers and like really gave it a depth. Yeah. Right now you're sort of, you're so reduced. How was that? Was that a challenge for you artistically as well, to get that same sense of like depth and lushness with just, you know, very basic materials?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I don't think that it does. I don't think that the works are as lush. I think that they are much more silhouette-y and kind of like something you see when you are turning your head almost, mm-hmm. and you see a quick silhouette of a, you know, a person in a space. Not something maybe you would confront like with the depth that Leisho has in his work. Oil paint, or you're not using oil paint, but those kinds of paints have a malleability that is quite fun. It's another problem to solve in your practice, which I think can again be really can be really fun, because you can figure out each thing. And I can imagine with your pigments, Leisho, each pigment has a personality.
Yeah. I think
like, hey, I'm the chatty one.
I imagine some are much more thin, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's more based on the pigment. So I'm using distemper, which is like everything. But, you know, like, it's not just distemper. There is like watercolors and there's oil, but then there's this kind of construction. And you, when you see them in person, you understand. It's not as flat as you think. But there's this kind of understanding what can go on top of what, that really makes it able to get layered. But
yeah,
I wanted to ask you about speed, because that was kind of like the first time I encountered your work, Tessa. That was my first criticism. I was like, it's so quick. It's so, like, I was like, so watered down, like, how is this painting? And it's just like, after an education, I understand, right? And then suddenly, it's speed is my friend. So I wonder, like, you explained it's like the after image, right? And I'm very curious in terms of, just how did you end up there? You know, how did that come into play?
Yeah, I don't know. I quite like that. I like the event of it. With the oil paintings, I'll often paint a whole painting the same size before, and then I'll paint it again.
Yeah.
more quickly.
Yeah.
in one go. Mm-hmm. I prefer it. I shy away from the layering of the layering of oil paint where you have to, and with your work where you'd have to let some dry, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then go on top.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of technical knowledge for that. Which I know about. It's also rough in this environment to manage all of that.
To have anything dry in like less than like 5 weeks, basically.
Yeah.
But so what do you do with the original painting, Tessa?
Throw it away.
I guess that's how it goes. Yeah.
I just told Lauren, I said, oh, I just threw out 25 paintings. And she was like, I don't think you're meant to tell your gallerist that. I don't know. It's just, it's like I'll practice and then I'll do the main event. Mm-hmm. It's completely different from what I see. I can't wait to see your big painting, especially in person, because it looks.
I know. I'm so, I guess, really me too. I cannot wait to go unpack that crate.
Yeah. And whereas I'm constantly looking for a more immediate process, getting closer to the drawings. I guess the drawings are the content of my practice, of how I think things through. And then maybe I'm trying to get closer to that. And I appreciate so much when something is about time as well. Mm-hmm. I was going back to your talk about monsters and how, I don't know if you feel this way. I don't think that they're scary. I always feel like the mythology, because we're so used to it here, it's not, sometimes people will see my work and I'm sure your work and talk about fear or scariness. I wouldn't have said that about your work. I would say that it's just a fact. It's like a presentation. Sure. Would you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I have been part of the journey of the work, and that's kind of like how the portraits operate. Is a question of what humanity is. So it's supposed to challenge the narratives around it. And then it's just kind of working with a kind of stereotype around what monsters mean and what monsters are. So, you know, it's just a part of that questioning, a kind of breakup in terms of like Western, because like if you do go into like African storytelling and African mythology, these things all have places. And it's not about them looking, you know, they're going to eat you or suck out your soul. Mm-hmm. It's this idea of that they have powers that you don't understand.
Yeah, and are very often necessary to have like a balance in the world, you know? Or to, again, you know, like embody, you know, normally, as Tess pointed out, like the monster turns out to not be the monster.
Right.
Right. You know, in fact, that it's our own. We're the people projecting monsterness on it because we don't understand, or it looks different, or what have you. So,
I don't think my work directly references this exact aspect, but I do think yours does. I think that I think that there's a colonization of fear, and it's the idea that the other is fearful. And so I find often the questions around people's work in the Caribbean is like, how does this relate to monsters and fear and scary things? And I think it's really not for us, you're like, no, it's not, this isn't a scary thing. This is scary to you. You're scared.
Yes.
Because you're scared of everything that's not yours. But I think that really opens up your work when you think about it as a safe space. Yeah. Safe is not the right word, but yeah.
You summed it up really well though, Tessa, really well. And unfortunately, with that beautiful summary, we now have to call it. I always feel like the show should be another half hour, because like we just, you know, you start getting into like the meat like later on. But we can continue another time, and hopefully, I mean, I would so love to have Anisha come visit again and come stay again. We have a joke, like whenever I tell my husband, like, oh, you remember so-and-so, he's like, what, did they stay with us? And I'm like, yes! So We'd love to have you back. And to the audience, I would love everybody to go see the show. Of course, I have my own interest because it's now where I'm working at Turn Gallery on Mahogany Hill. But again, three really amazing Bahamian artists you should know, maybe you already know. Tessa Whitehead, who we heard from, Heino Schmidt, and Dominique Knowles, who will be on the show in a couple of weeks. And of course, Jamaican artist Leisha Johnson, who did exhibit at the National Art Gallery in the Skin and Sand Double Dutch with Edrin Simonet. And really pleased to be working with him again and to be back in touch. So thank you both for being on the show this evening. And to the audience, we really hope you come out tomorrow night, Thursday night, Mahogany Hill, Turn Gallery. Between 4 and 8 p.m., we have COVID restrictions, so we can't allow crowds. And of course, the show will be up until the end of August, so you have plenty of time to come back and check it out. It's called Notions of Self, and it's curated by Jodi Minnett. So thank you all for listening. Tessa, Leisha, thank you so much for being with us this evening. I really appreciate it. Good to see your faces on the Zoom or whatever this is, and see you all soon. And to the audience, thank you for listening. You've been listening to the NAGB's Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, your host for the evening, and you've been listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Well, hopefully you'll tune in next week. Good night.